And let's keep it local here on the commute. In Olympia, there is a suite of proposals to reduce gun violence that have been put forward by the Alliance for Gun Responsibility. They've been around for about 10 years, headed by Renee Hopkins, who used to head the Seattle Police Foundation. And in a few minutes, I'm going to be talking to Renee about one of her proposals that's caught a lot of attention and engendered some controversy. That bill, which is House Bill 1163, Senate Bill 5140, would require you to get a permit to purchase a firearm in Washington State. Here's a quick overview from Como 4's Joel Moreno.
One bill getting attention would impose a permit-to-purchase system for firearm sales. Applicants would need to submit fingerprints, show proof of firearms training, and undergo an extensive background check.
Permit-to-purchase laws are proven as one of the most effective policies that save lives and reduce gun violence.
Other bills increase secure storage requirements, limit bulk purchases, and prohibit guns in more public spaces. Opponents say criminals will ignore these safety measures.
Criminals don't go through background checks. They don't bother with bulk purchase limitations. They don't bother with one gun a month laws.
Joel Moreno, Como News.
Okay. So let's bring Renee Hopkins from the Alliance for Gun Responsibility, CEO, on the John Carlson Show this morning. Renee, how are you?
Hi, John. I'm doing well. How are you?
Good.
Thanks for bringing up the Police Foundation. I don't know if you're still on the board or not. But
I am still on the board. I paths just narrowly did not cross because you had just left the foundation, I think, when I joined.
Yeah.
And I think it was to take this position as CEO of the Alliance for Gun Responsibility.
It sure was.
So let me pay you a compliment before I ask you a critical question, okay? The Alliance for Gun Responsibility has been very successful. I mean, you've got a grassroots organization, you've got an advocacy arm, you've got, you know, lobbying, you've got a political arm, and then, you know, educational agenda. You always have a series of proactive measures to reduce gun violence, and you get a good portion of them through, either through the legislative process, sometimes even by initiative. So here comes critical question. You've met with a great deal of success to reduce gun violence, and yet, in the 10 years you've been in business, gun violence in Washington hasn't gone down. It's gone up by rather a lot. Why isn't your agenda bringing down gun violence? Why is gun violence still growing despite the success of your agenda?
It's a fair question, and what I will push back on is some types of gun violence have gone down in Washington State in the last 10 years, especially suicide, which suicide by firearm takes far more lives than any other kind of gun violence in the country, and in Washington State, we've typically been about 10% higher in suicide by firearm, and over the last 3 to 4 years, our suicide rate in Washington State has gone down by 6%, while nationally it's gone up by 10%. So that's dozens of lives that have, always hard to prove a negative, but that have not been lost due to gun suicide. That being said, homicide rates have gone up nationwide, especially during the pandemic. We saw a huge spike in gun sales, a huge spike in gun violence. And in particular, in homicides, which is two of our bills this year really aim to get at the interpersonal violence, community violence that happens primarily with trafficked and illegal firearms. So happy to dig into that more, but just wanted to clarify and give a little more nuance to where our state actually is in terms of gun violence and the impact that we have had.
Yeah.
The other thing that I will say is that, you know, gun violence is a public health epidemic. It is going to take a numerous different initiatives, whether they be new laws, public education, you know, rural organizing with people who own firearms. And this is how I grew up, who really think that they are owning firearms in a responsible way, but are putting their families at risk, which is in no way, shape, or form to shame anyone for owning firearms. It's about educating and really understanding how to mitigate the risks if you do decide to own firearms.
Do you own a firearm?
I do not, no, but I grew up in a family with firearms aplenty. I've shot firearms many times, gone hunting with my grandfather and uncles.
Okay.
And I also lost a brother to gun violence when I was young, and he was 14. So I definitely run the spectrum of experience with firearms.
Okay. And to also clarify for our listeners, about two-thirds of firearm deaths are suicide.
Correct.
So that is a major problem, and that's actually where you see some common cause between the gun rights community and the anti-gun community. They often come together.
Let's be clear about this, because I think there's a lot. I think our politicians tend to make this a more divisive issue than real people make it. I mean, I sit on panel after panel with people that would classify themselves as gun rights advocates, and there's more common ground than there's not. Mm-hmm. And I think that shows that plays out in how we see voting happening in our state. Our statewide initiatives have won at the ballot, which included closing background check loopholes, extremist protection orders, and regulations on semi-automatic assault rifles.
Okay.
And they all passed with more than 60% of the vote at the ballot. So we, you know, I think, again, politicians like to make this a very black and white issue, and normal people, gun owners or not, don't see it that way.
Okay. But again, to get to the core point I was raising a moment ago, your agenda has been, you've gotten much of your agenda through, but gun violence at the hands of criminals, you know, criminal violence, homicides, they're not going down. They're going up by rather a lot. We actually set a record in 2023. I haven't seen the 24 numbers yet for homicides in Washington. A lot of them by guns. An epidemic of youth violence with firearms. And so that continues, you know, to elude the Alliance for Gun Responsibility. Why do you think that is?
I would not put it that way. I would say that laws that are passed take years to implement effectively. And this kind of change with a public health epidemic takes time. It's not something that's going to turn on a dime, if you will.
Well, violent crime went down in a big hurry in the early 90s after we passed Three Strikes, You're Out. I was there for that one. And violent crime started going down in the first 2 years, and within 3 years, it went down 40%.
Yeah, and violent crime is going down nationwide, and we anticipate that Washington will also continue with that trend. I think two laws that we're looking at passing this year really get at what you're talking to, John, which is the easy accessibility of firearms to youth. Every firearm in our country starts out legal. And there are things along the way that make it easier for them to become illegal and fall into the wrong hands. Okay. And our permit to purchase law, which, you know, more than 68% of Washington voters favor, is really connected to lowering the kind of violence that you're talking about.
Well, I'll tell you, I want to talk about that in just a moment, but I want to hone in on what you were just saying about youth gun violence, young people shooting and killing other young people. Listen to this from Michelle Esteban from Como 4. She's talking about what the penalties are if you are a juvenile even a juvenile with a criminal record who's caught with an illegal firearm.
If I'm a kid and I'm busted for having a firearm, which is a felony, mm-hmm. the first time, what's going to happen?
If you're a juvenile and you are caught carrying a firearm, the very first time, the most you will see is 30 days in detention at the local level.
What happens about the second time?
The most you will receive is 30 days at the local level.
Third time?
30 days at the local level.
Fourth time?
30 days at the local level.
Fifth time?
You might then be eligible for juvenile rehabilitation for a longer sentence.
Okay. Four times where the most you can get, and you hardly ever do, is 30 days. Why aren't you focusing on that?
Well, we're focusing on making sure that the guns don't get in the hands of the kids to begin with.
Yeah, but and when they do and they're caught, there's no penalty. It's like you can have a gun, illegally possess a gun if you're a juvenile, even if you have a criminal record, but there's no real consequence until you start pulling the trigger. Don't you think we should try and stigmatize the possession of a firearm by a young person who is not eligible to own or carry one? Shouldn't we say have a penalty that is so clear and so unequivocal that they say, "Hey, stay away from guns. They don't mess around if they catch you with guns."
So I think, again, back to what our organization from a public health lens is focused on is keeping the guns out of the kids' hands to begin with. And this year, we have two bills that are really aiming at that have proven efficacy in other states, and that's permit to purchase and enhanced dealer licensing. And I think that's really where I would like to focus the rest of this conversation. Connecticut saw a 28% decrease in firearm homicide and a 32% decrease in firearm suicide after they enacted a permit to purchase law. Okay. And in a study done by Johns Hopkins, if we had enacted that same law in our state at the same time, which is about 10 years ago, we would have seen about 1,200 fewer gun deaths.
So here's where I think
it's really important to understand that the answers to this very, very complicated question are not singular. They include laws. They include public education. They include really working with gun owners and understanding the sort of push behind the desire to own firearms and helping people really understand how to mitigate risk.
So
and I think that is really important.
Okay, so here's the Washington State Constitution, Article 1, Section 24. You've heard it many times before, but for our listeners who haven't.
I don't know that you need to read it again,
For our listeners, the right of the individual citizen to bear arms in defense of himself or the state shall not be impaired. Now, that is state constitutional right. Wait, it's not just a federal constitutional right. It's a state constitutional right. And
our organization is very respectful of that. We both at the national level and state level in our country have a ripe history of balancing rights and responsibilities.
So here's my question then. Can you tell me, Renee, again, my guest, Renee Hopkins, the Alliance for Gun Responsibility, can you name me a constitutional right that you have to get a permit to exercise?
I can name you constitutional rights that there are direct responsibilities and there are limits put on, including the First Amendment.
Sure, but can you name one with a government that requires, for instance, if I want to drive, I need a permit, right? I need a license. If I want to go hunting, fishing, I got to get a license because those things are not constitutional rights.
It sounds like you've been talking to Alan a bit.
Alan who?
Listen, Alan Gottlieb.
Oh, no. But again, Can you name me any constitutional right where you need the government's permission before you exercise it?
We have a right to life in our country, and with that means that other responsibilities on other rights are going to be necessary. And the bottom line is, when we talk about gun violence in our country, it is the leading cause of death for children. And anyone that feels okay with that, I question. I think it's really, really important that we think about this not as a gun issue, but as a public health issue and a right to life issue, and a right to life issue for our children. And that is going to take myriad responses to ensure that we can attack this as a public health crisis
okay.
that it is.
Well, and
that's
I hope
my
every
organization is focused on. You know, we work with survivors of gun violence every day, again, myself included, and the loss of life that we are experiencing in our country does not have to be what it is today.
By the way, I think the leading cause of death among children is household accidents and then drowning.
No, it's firearms, John. It has been for the last 2 years.
And again, that, you know, taking that into account, because as a gun owner myself, you bet we were very, very cautious and very safety oriented when it came
yeah.
to our kids. And people should be showing
which
extreme.
I applaud. Yep.
But the bottom line here is I can't think of a constitutional right where you need to get a permit to exercise the right as a citizen. And so I don't know how this is going to pass constitutional muster. Even, you know, we have a very liberally inclined state Supreme Court.
No,
but even if it with a federal court, yeah. I can't see how a federal court would say that the government can require you to get its permission before you exercise a constitutional right. And I'm going to give you the final word, and you can tell people more about the alliance while you're answering that.
Yeah, well, to answer that question directly, 10 other states already have laws like this. They've been upheld through federal and state courts, and we don't put anything forward that we don't believe can withstand any sort of legal challenge. So we're very, very clear on that. And I just want to end by saying thank you for taking the time to talk with me today. And to me, this issue is about saving lives and nothing else. And doing that in a way that balances rights and responsibilities, which is how the Alliance has always operated. But really, when it comes down to it, the most important thing is making sure that America doesn't continue having gun violence as the leading cause of death for its children and teens, and that we know that there are things that we can do to reduce gun violence, and what that really means is saving lives, and that is what I'm about.
Okay, let us hope that that you and I can together go to Olympia next year and say it's time to have much clearer consequences for people who illegally possess a gun or illegally obtain a gun, whether they're adults or juvenile. We need to have much clearer penalties for that. Okay.
And I thought you were giving me the last word. Let's hope we can go together to Olympia and you can also help us advocate for laws that we know will help prevent those incidents from happening even in the beginning.
All right. Renee Hopkins.
Thank you for your time.
From the Alliance for Gun Responsibility. Look forward to talking again sometime, Renee.
Thanks, John.